Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, October 1st, 2014, episode 10.17, the Week 5 Preview Show. Oh, people, I am so glad September is over. Welcome to October. Let's get to the rest of the year, and hopefully for me, it is an uneventful one. The Oakland Raiders are back to doing Oakland Raider things. Gruden, that would be John, not Jay, says he's not even thinking about coaching. Well, maybe it's Jay too, seeing how the Redskins are doing right now. The Rams announced the starting quarterback. Larry Donnell admits to playing fantasy football, and he makes a boneheaded move. A few more suspensions are doled out, and this week, Rafe Alright from Down Under represents the fans in this week's selection of the weekly picks against me, and he makes a very interesting challenge game pick. We'll get to all of that, and we have a good old boy. So lots to get to it, 15 games to talk about. Let's chomp it in.
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am back. First of all, thank you, every single one of you who posted on Facebook, sent me an email, sent me a tweet for your condolences, your kind words, and your prayers. I guarantee you, myself, and my family, we sincerely appreciate it. Thank you very much for keeping us in your prayers and your thoughts. I lost my brother, for those of you who don't know, a couple weeks ago. One of my older brothers passed away. He, Jesus, Jesse Miranda, had been fighting ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. It kind of deteriorated him over the last couple months. I'm very fortunate that I was able to spend some time with him back during the 4th of July. During that week, we all kind of got together and spent some time with him, and that was good. I feel really good about that. He's in a much better place. And for everybody who just reached out, thank you. I was overwhelmed by everyone who reached out to me. So thank you very much for that. In the last couple years, my brother had become a big fan of the show. He would always send me emails and texts about something I said on the show or what have you. So I'm sure he is watching and saying, dude, where are the shows? he's probably wondering why I haven't done any shows. So I'm back. I'm going to move on. And like I said, September was pretty brutal. I had some medical stuff going on with myself personally. That's kind of now taken care of. Feeling much better. And my wife has some stuff going on that she is going through as well. And then, of course, the passing of my brother. So it's just you know, kind of been a crazy month. My daughter's starting school. And it was just all kind of like, woo, hit me all at once. But I am back. I am ready to go. I had a great week last week. Week four, I was 10-3, I think, in the week. There were only 13 games. It was 10-3 or 11-2. We'll find out. I didn't even get the chance to do a preview or recap show. But first, I want to say thanks to Thomas Hook, was the person who went up against me last week representing the fans. He, unfortunately, didn't do all that great for the fans. Nothing against you, Thomas. Thank you for coming out and going up against me. I appreciate it. But he ended at 7-6 for the week, and I finished at 10-3 for the week. So I picked up 3 games on the fan. So that now puts me 1 game up overall for the fans. I also won the challenge game. It was the fans' week to choose the challenge game, and Thomas decided to go with the Bears at home over the Green Bay Packers, because I had the Packers and he took the Bears. That was another one for me. So it's all squared away as far as challenge games are concerned, 2-2 with the fans. I've caught you after being down 0-2, and have caught you And the overall total, the fans are sitting at 39-22 on the year, 64%. I'm at 66% at 40-21. So it's still pretty tight. Challenge games and neck and neck. And that's continuing to go. This week, Rafe, I believe, is the name of the gentleman. Yes, Rafe. All right. He calls himself the Down Under Thunder. That was a very nice email, though, Rafe. He is going up against me, and this week he and I have six games that we differ on. He also chose the challenge game, and he's choosing quite an interesting one this week for the challenge game. So I'm pretty excited to get to those picks. But before we do, there's NFL news, and let's start with those tricky, tricky Oakland Raiders. Well, if you don't know by now, after the Raiders got embarrassed in London by the Miami Dolphins, they flew back home, and a day after that, the Oakland Raiders fired head coach Dennis Allen. Mark Davis, owner of the Raiders, took a page of his out of his father's playbook, and he decided to run it now. See, Al Davis back in 1989 fired Mike Shanahan 4 games into the season, and then again in 2008, he fired Lane Kiffin just 4 games into the season. And so now his son, Mark Davis, has said, well, let's do the same thing. And just 4 games into the season, fired Dennis Allen. However, Mark Davis reached a new low with the firing of Dennis Allen. He fired Allen over the phone. Didn't even have the decency to fire the guy face to face. Stay classy, Oakland. And Mr. Davis, that's just great. Don't even have the cojones to face a guy and tell him you're letting him go. That's not good. We're just going to call him. We're just going to call him and fire him. That's just great. I can't believe that that's how the organization is run up there, but that's how it is. And Tony Sperano, not Soprano, because if it was Tony Soprano, he'd probably whack Mark Davis for the way he handled Dennis Allen. It's Sperano, and he was the offensive lines coach, and he was named interim coach. Interesting, since the Oakland Raiders can't run the football right now, why they made him the interim head coach. Well, I'll tell you why. It was Reggie McKenzie's doing. Apparently, Mark Davis wanted Al Saunders to be the interim head coach, but McKenzie wanted Sperano because he wanted someone who had some head coaching experience. Not that Sperano's head coaching experience is anything to, you know, be all excited about, because his days in Miami were not very good. But Davis let McKenzie make the decision, and you know, if you're Reggie McKenzie and you don't expect to be around there much anyways after the season, I guess he hired the guy who thought might give him the best chance at winning because he actually has some head coaching experience. But good luck to Tony Sperano and good luck to the Oakland Raiders, really, because I'm not a big fan of firing a head coach in the middle of the season. You're not going to accomplish anything. Seriously, now you've just made all your players aware that you're a very poorly run organization. They don't really going to start to care. They're certainly not going to, you know, switch gears from listening and taking Dennis Allen's philosophy and the way he wanted to run the football team. Now all of a sudden they got to switch gears and listen to Tony Sperano. It's going to be very interesting. I think it goes downhill from here. I had the Raiders winning 4 games. I'm actually now officially putting them on 0-16 watch, mostly because Derek Carr got hurt while he was in London and probably won't be back for a few weeks until the Oakland Raiders play the San Diego Chargers. So I'm not looking forward to what the Oakland Raiders are going to be putting out on the football field anytime soon. They just look bad, and the way they handle their business is pretty bad as well. Let's move on to St. Louis, where someone got a starting job. Austin Davis, who is currently starting at QB for the St. Louis Rams, was told that he will remain the starting quarterback for the St. Louis Rams. Davis has started the last few games. He will start again this week when they play the Philadelphia Eagles. And now it's his job to lose. Coach Jeff Fisher announced today that he is going to make Austin Davis the starting quarterback. He spoke with both Davis and Sean Hill. Sean Hill, you remember, is the guy who started week one as the team's starting quarterback. And he talked to both guys, and he said, Davis is our guy, and I'm not going to have a short hook with Davis. I'm going to let him go and learn and be our quarterback and see if we can get something from Davis. The kids look pretty good. So, you know, I agree with the move. I think Sean Hill is something that, you know, we've been there. We've seen that. We've done that. Let's try something different. Davis has been giving them some pretty good offensive consistency. So he has been announced the starting quarterback. Good luck to Davis and the Rams. They're in a tough division. You're in there with the Cardinals, the 49ers, and the Seahawks. I don't think the Rams are going to be able to make any noise this season, but maybe they can find out what they have in Austin Davis and see if he's a guy that they could take seriously at the quarterback position. Funny story here regarding a New York Giant. Tight end Larry Donnell is a good tight end. Maybe even turning out to be a pretty great one, had 3 touchdown catches last week against the Washington Redskins, but it turns out he's a horrible fantasy football player. That's right. Larry Donnell admitted to the NorthJersey.com that he plays fantasy football. And in the fantasy football league where he has himself as a player, unfortunately, last week he decided to bench himself in favor of San Francisco 49ers tight end Vernon Davis. Of course, we know how that played out. Donnell scored 3 touchdowns with like 8 catches for 53 yards. Vernon Davis had 2 catches for like 8 yards and then hurt his back and left the game and played no more. It turns out Larry Donnell lost his fantasy football game, and had he played himself, he would have won. So I hope you learned a lesson. If you play in the NFL, and you play fantasy football, start yourself, because you have control over what you're going to do, not what other people are going to do. I just thought that was a very interesting story. Pretty funny there that, you know, I know there's got to be guys in the league that play fantasy football. And I'm sure if you play in the league, you're going to want to draft yourself. I know Maurice Jones-Drew used to draft himself in the first round almost every week. Not very good to do that, but he did, and he was just having fun. So if you're just having fun, go for it. But advice to Larry Donnell, start yourself, dude. Start yourself. You're doing pretty good. I started you last week in several leagues and got over 23 points, so I am very, very happy about that. All right, before we get to the games, just talking about a little bit of suspensions. We'll start in Carolina, where the Panthers defensive end Frank Alexander has been suspended 10 games for violating the league's policy on substances of abuse. Man, he won't be eligible to return until the Panthers' Week 15 game against the Buccaneers. The fact is, he was already banned the first 4 games of the season for a different violation. So now you're suspended again? Just when you think you're going to get to play again, you know, you've already sat the first 4 games, your suspension is over, you're getting ready to come back to the team and start contributing, and you get a 10-game suspension. Dude, just stay off whatever it is you're doing. I mean, come on. You're not helping anything. Right now, the Carolina Panthers could use you on the football field. Thanks for nothing. Okay, LeRon Landry was also suspended, and the league is just, you know what, ever since they've made this new drug policy that kind of the NFLPA kind of signed off on and the players agreed to, it's just they're coming out like wildfire now. All these guys getting suspended for doing illegal substances. Just if you don't know whether it's legal or not, ask some medical specialist on your football club. Just find out, can I take this supplement? Can I take this particular drug to help me with whatever it is you want to get helped with, and avoid this stuff? It's pretty brutal. It's not really good. And here you are suffering another 10-game suspensions after you just finished a 4-game suspension that was doled out last year. Pretty incredible. All right, finally, before I get to the games, John Gruden obviously is on the minds of a lot of people as possibly being the head coach, the next head coach for the Oakland Raiders. He is friends with Mark Davis, after all, and a lot of bloggers and prognosticators started saying that Gruden might be the next head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Gruden, of course, is an ESPN analyst. He is in the broadcast booth right now doing Monday Night Football. Gruden talked about, was asked today on the Mike and Mike show if he might be the Raiders' next head coach. And he said, well, I appreciate those seven or eight bloggers, you know, or seven or eight friends that are bloggers using different screen names to talking about it. He joked around about that, but he said, to those anonymous bloggers, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not even thinking about coaching. So there you go. I think it's the classic thing to say. Of course, you're not going to say, yeah, I'd like to be considered for the Oakland Raiders job. Of course not. Of course, Chucky's not going to say that. So to everybody wondering and who the Oakland Raiders are going to go after, well, it might be Gruden, but there might be somebody else. The bottom line with the Oakland Raiders head coaching vacancy is this. Nobody really wants to go to Oakland. All right. There was a poll earlier this offseason where players said, I think 80% of the players polled said that they would have to get paid double to go play in Oakland. So free agents don't want to go there, right? It's probably not a head coach that wants that job right now. It's not attractive. They don't have a lot of talent. They don't have a lot of patience with their head coaching vague jobs. As you can tell, they don't let Dennis Allen finish his third season. He has his contract goes for, you know, through 4 years. So he didn't even get to finish the third year of a four-year contract. So no patience. They don't get you talent. You don't have a quarterback there in Oakland. All right, I'm sorry. Derek Carr is not the answer. Okay, he's a little lesser version of his brother who played for the Houston Texans. And there's really not a lot special going on the defensive side of the ball as well. Their first-round draft picks over the last several years have been horrendous. I could point to Jamarcus Russell, Darius Heyward-Bey, and even last year's pick, DJ Hayden, who's been hurt. The dude's been hurt. And we don't even know what he's going to contribute to the team because he hasn't been on the field. You cannot miss with your first-round picks. That is the one thing that has been ingrained in my head is from Jimmy Johnson, from my Jimmy Johnson days back when I was working for the Dallas Cowboys organization a long, long time ago. The one thing that if I took anything from that man is you cannot miss with your first-round pick. And he knew very well how to draft first-round talent. The Oakland Raiders have not drafted first-round talent very well. They just haven't. And so I don't know if you're a big name like Gruden or Bill Cowher or, you know, anyone out there who's had success coaching in the NFL, if you look at the head coaching vacancy for the Oakland Raiders and be like, yeah, I want to go there. I want to go to the Oakland. And that's why they always get stuck with trying to get somebody, you know, getting a head coach who has no head coaching experience. They usually come up with someone who doesn't have head coaching experience in the NFL, and that's all you're going to get if you're Oakland. Don't come and tell me that you're going to try and lure John Gruden out of the broadcast booth. That's not going to happen. He's happy. He works a couple days a week. He works from his home. On Friday, he flies out to the city wherever, you know, Monday Night Football is going to be. He has a couple meetings on Saturday. He meets with some of the players and coaches from the teams on Sunday. Monday night, he does Monday Night Football. And then that's it. He gets to go home and spend the whole rest of the week with his family. How are you going to give that up? And unless they throw $10 million at him, they say, come on, we'll pay you $10 million a year and we'll give you a creative license. You will have all of the power to pick your own players, you know, get rid of Reggie McKenzie, come in here. You have full authority on player personnel. It is your team. Run it. And maybe if the Raiders give him all of that, Gruden will consider leaving the broadcast booth. Short of that, he'll just laugh. He'll be like, yo, Mark, you're a funny dude, man. I like you, man, but I'm not going to go coach for your team. But give me $10 million and full control? Maybe. I'll think about it. But short of that, it's not going to happen. So I expect that when the Oakland Raiders do announce a new head coach, which won't be until way later on in the season, maybe even –
the week after the season is over. It'll be a head coach who has never coached as a head coach in the NFL before, has maybe a few years of coordinator experience under his belt, but certainly never been a head coach with any success in the NFL. That's what I expect from the Oakland Raiders. Enough about the Oakland Raiders. They're on a bye this week, along with the Miami Dolphins, the only two teams on a bye this week. So we have 15 games to talk about, and Rafe is here, the Down Under Thunder, coming at me. Let's get it. All right, since a quarter of the season is already gone, and we are starting week five, it's time to break up the games. And let's get started with El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. This week, the undefeated Arizona Cardinals head to Mile High to play the Denver Broncos. I've got the Denver Broncos in this game. They're coming off a bye week. And if you're trying to tell me that the Arizona Cardinals, who also are coming off a bye week, are going to beat a Peyton Manning team that has had 2 weeks to prepare, I think you're crazy. Well, apparently I think Rafe is crazy because he's taking the Arizona Cardinals. Now, here's what Rafe has to say. He says, I believe the Cardinals defense can keep Peyton Manning and the Broncos offense in check. The Cardinals are averaging the third lowest points per game and an interception in each game. They also have the fifth lowest total yards per game allowed, compared to the Broncos defense, who are allowing the sixth highest total yards per game allowed. Now, although I agree with all of Rafe has said there, I will point out to Rafe that Peyton Manning has played difficult teams and the Cardinals have not. So that's that. He also says, I believe the Cardinals defense is going to stop the ground game and limit the air attack of the Broncos while carving up the Broncos defense in the air. With who? Drew freaking Stanton? Come on, Rafe. Broncos passing defense is the second worst in yards per game, 285.3 yards per game. So if Carson Palmer is available, which he is not, Carson Palmer's had a setback. He's going to see a specialist this week. The Cardinals win easily by 9 points or more, if not a closer game, but the Arizona Cardinals still win by 3 points. Wow. That is a pretty big talk. it's crazy that it's the first game that we're talking about, but I believe Rafe is making this the challenge game. That's how confident he is. We still have five other games that we differ on, but he has right off the bat said, this is who I believe is going to do it. He is taking Arizona to beat the Denver Broncos in Denver, mind you, in Denver. And more power to you, Rafe. That's a good pick. But for you, it's not a good pick for me. I don't see any way that the Arizona Cardinals go on the road and beat a Peyton Manning-led team that has been sitting around for 2 weeks planning for this game. I think if anything, the Arizona Cardinals get beat and get beat bad. The line in this game, I'm actually looking it up right now as we speak. I seem to be having computer difficulties. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on with Firefox. It's never acted up. But anyways, I digress. The spread in this game right now, the Denver Broncos, I believe, are favored by 7.5. It's coming up. We'll wait on that. But that's what Rafe says. I just think the Denver Broncos, they have too much time on their hands, and when they have time, they can kind of come up with a game plan, especially offensively, to take care of business. The spread's actually now up to 9. I'm sorry, it's down to 8. It opened at 9. It's down to 8 right now. So. Denver at home, favored by 8. I like it. I don't think Arizona has a chance. I thank you for making that the challenge game because, as I said earlier in the show, the fans have the right to pick the challenge game this week because I won last week. And he is picking Arizona to beat Denver. So there you have it. We'll move on
to the game. Well, I'll give you a little bit more since it is El Juego Grande Estupendo. I'll speak a little bit more on it. The Denver Broncos are, or should I say, a Peyton Manning-led team coming out of a bye week is pretty lethal. Offensively, they've been pretty good. And I think last year the Denver Broncos did very well coming off their bye week. The other thing is I think they're just now starting to put some of the pieces in place on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, they've had some injuries, and as Rafe said, they've given up a lot of yards through the air. I don't think they do that this week. I think they're actually going to get after the quarterback. I think they're going to start hitting the quarterback a little bit more, and Drew Stanton is going to get hit. If he thought the San Francisco 49ers hit him a couple weeks ago, he's about to get lit up by, I think, the Denver defense. I don't think finds as much success through the air. They're if anything, going to beat – if they're going to beat the Denver Broncos, they better rely on the running game in Ellington, and I'm not sure that he's going to be able to get it done. I think Monty Ball actually has a decent game, and that opens it up for the Denver Broncos. I expect at least a double-digit win, if not by 14, Denver over Arizona. Kind of crazy that the first game right off the bat is the biggest game of the week in my mind, and Rafe is going opposite of me. Let's head on to games of the week. In the first game of the week, the Minnesota Vikings traveled to Green Bay to face the Green Bay Packers on Thursday Night Football. Minnesota's coming off a huge win, and Teddy Bridgewater looked fabulous as they spanked the Atlanta Falcons, and in doing so, killed a couple of my parlay cards. Let's just leave it at that. But Teddy Bridgewater hurt himself in the game, although the MRI has come back negative, and there are indications that Teddy Bridgewater might play in the game. I think Minnesota's also preparing for Teddy not being available, and we'll have to go with Christian Ponder since Matt Castle's already out with an injury as well. That being said, Green Bay's coming off a thrashing of the Chicago Bears on the road. Now they're at home. Aaron Rodgers is feeling pretty good about himself. And all I have to tell you is this. Aaron Rodgers is fantastic against the Minnesota Vikings. I think he's something like 5-1 or 4-1 with 12 touchdown passes. He is going to eat them up again at home. I don't think Minnesota's going to have an answer. And if they have to rely on Ponder, Ponder's been horrible against the Green Bay Packers. He's like, I don't know, 1-5-1 against Green Bay. Those are not good numbers. I will take the Packers at home. And it's a Thursday night football, so it's a short week. I like the home team usually on a short week at home. And this is Green Bay, typically a very, very strong division game. But I think Minnesota is going to be a little weak in this one, and I will take the Packers to do very well. I like Aaron Rodgers in this game. If you're playing fantasy football, make sure you got him out there on the football field. I'm not sure that Minnesota is going to be able to get into a style of play where they match Green Bay point for point. I'm taking Green Bay and the points. As a matter of fact, they're favorite right now by 7.5 points. I think they'll win by more than a touchdown. So I like Green Bay. Rafe is taking the Minnesota Vikings. He says, I've been disappointed with the Packers, and I have no faith in them. The Vikings will get up by a field goal in a close upset. Maybe by decision here is because I have Eddie Lacy in a couple fantasy leagues, and he is killing me. I love how some of y'all people pick, but there you go. He doesn't like the fact that Eddie Lacy's killing his fantasy football teams, so he's taking the Minnesota Vikings. That's is the second game that we differ upon. The next game of the week, the Chicago Bears travel to Carolina to face the Carolina Panthers. This is another game that we differ upon. I'm taking Carolina at home. Meanwhile, Raf is taking the Chicago Bears. He says the Bears' defense has been good with Willie Young's 4 sacks and Chris Conte's 2 interceptions. I believe the Bear defense will be the deciding factor. Bears win by a touchdown. That's very interesting. The thing here is, the Carolina Panthers have been pretty good at home. They've looked horrible on the road, but at home they've looked quite decent, and that's where, you know, the wins that they've gotten, they've looked really good. I think after a disappointing
showing last week against the Baltimore Ravens. Carolina bounces back at home. Meanwhile, Chicago still has to figure out which Jay Cutler is going to show up. Is it the good one or the bad one? I think it's the bad one. I think one thing Cutler does not like is getting hit. Oh, no quarterback really likes to get hit, but Cutler especially, and I think Carolina will get after him, hit him around a couple times. He will be forced to make some turnovers. So I certainly like the Carolina Panthers to win at home. So that is game number three that we differ on. My goodness, right off the bat, are we going to agree on any? The Houston Texans travel to Dallas to face the Dallas Cowboys. And, of course, lo and behold, we have another differing difference of opinions here. I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys. How could you not? They're 3-1. They're running the ball fantastically. They lead the league in rushing. DeMarco Murray leads the league in rushing. He's got, what, 534 yards on the ground. I think he gets after Houston and does it again. This game we're in Houston, Reliant Stadium. Maybe I differ on this pick. But in Dallas, AT&T Stadium, all of a sudden the crowds are starting to show up again to cheer for the Dallas Cowboys. They're doing good things. Tony Romo is not committing mistakes. I like Dallas to win and win big. The Houston Texans are being chosen by Rafe. He says Bruce Cotter is out for the Dallas Cowboys this week, and that should allow Arian Foster to run more than Cowboys DeMarco Murray. Sorry, Foster's been awful so far. DeMarco's been great. He says it'll be a high-scoring affair with the Texans winning by a touchdown. There you go. So that's Rafe's pick of Houston. I've got the Dallas Cowboys. I just think that, as I said earlier on, it's not that the Dallas Cowboys have a bad defense. I never thought that the Cowboys' defense was going to be bad. I just thought that the Cowboys' defense was unknown. There's a whole bunch of players on that defense that nobody really knows. Nobody really seems to care to know until recently. Rolando McClain's playing lights out right now. He's playing great football. Yes, the loss of Bruce Cotter for a couple weeks is going to hurt, but I think the Cowboys are going to be okay with the cast of characters they got. They got Anthony Spencer back. I think they're going to get after Ryan Fitzpatrick. Trust me, they will get after Fitzpatrick, and I'm not sure that Arian Foster. Look, first of all, no one's been really able to run that well against the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think Arian Foster, who's kind of still banged up a little bit, is going to be the first to do it. So I'll take Dallas while Rafe has the Houston Texans. We'll move on to the final game of the week as the Kansas City Chiefs travel to San Francisco to face the Niners. Now, this is interesting because Rafe and I finally agree on a game. And in agreeing on the game, he has got, we both have the San Francisco 49ers. And everybody's like, whoa, Steven, did you see what the Chiefs just did to the New England Patriots? Yes, I saw it, and I was in awe, and I loved every minute of it because, you know, who doesn't like to see the demolishing of the Death Star, right? I mean, everybody cheers at the end of Star Wars when the Death Star blows up, and then at the end of Return of the Jedi when they blow up the Death Star again. Everybody loves that. Everybody starts to celebrate. Everyone except for, of course, you know, some Imperial Stormtroopers and some of the bad guys. Well, they don't like it so much. So I'm sure New England Patriots fans right now are, you know, throwing their iPods across the room and stuff as I'm saying this. But who didn't like watching Tom Brady, you know, sitting on the bench by himself contemplating what in the world am I doing? What is going wrong with my life? And shouldn't I just be home in bed with my beautiful supermodel wife? That's probably what he was thinking. Of course, that's exactly what he was thinking. No, everybody loved it. Come on. So everybody's thinking right now, why are you not taking Kansas City? They dismantled New England. Well, I think San Francisco turned a little bit of the corner in the second half last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. Everybody was on them, and then there's been all kinds of, you know, questions like, oh, you know, the locker room doesn't want to be there. They don't like Harbaugh. And, well, I could see a little bit of that, but the fact of the matter is that now that it's been brought to their attention, they're certainly going to play lights out for their coach. They're at home. Kansas City hasn't looked too good on the road. So I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers. I think they will they will be okay. If they get into a little rhythm offensively, they should do fine. There's no way that Jamaal Charles explodes like he did against New England. Bottom line is, Colin Kaepernick's no Tom Brady. Tom Brady was getting teed off on like he was a standing statue. If the Kansas City Chiefs get in the backfield and get off to Colin Kaepernick, he can use his legs to kind of escape. So I'll stick with my pick, and Rafe and I agree that San Francisco will take care of Kansas City. Let's move on to games of importance. These are games that certainly are going to tell us a lot about these teams. In the games of importance section, we'll start with Cleveland as they head to Tennessee to face the Titans. Now, this is a game that we differ on. Rafe is taking the Cleveland Browns, and I like the Tennessee Titans. Rafe says, I believe that the Browns will win in a close one by a field goal. Locker will be rusty and not fully fit with his wrist. Both the Browns and Titans have struggled to score this season, but one of those low-scoring games, he'll take Cleveland. I'm still not sold with the Cleveland Browns. I know that they're going to come out, and they're coming with Brian Hoyer still at the helm. I thought that at 1-2 or 0-3 coming out of the bye week, they will have given the reins to Johnny Manziel. Not the case. They still think that Hoyer gives them the best chance to win. I don't buy it. And I know the Tennessee Titans have struggled a lot, but they've struggled stopping people from running. The Cleveland Browns don't have a running game to speak of. Yeah, they got Terrence West, and he has shown some flashes, but no Ben Tate and Terrence West having to carry most of the load. I don't think they'll have enough of a ground game to beat Tennessee. And Tennessee has some pride, and you got to remember the Tennessee, too, is coming off of a bye week. So I think that this will be a very good opportunity for them to get after the Cleveland Browns, get a win in the win column. So I'll stick with Tennessee. Rafe has the Browns. The Atlanta Falcons travel to New York to face the Giants. And interestingly enough, both Rafe and I are taking the Atlanta Falcons. Now, here's another one where it's a head-scratcher, and you're thinking, why in the world is Steven taking a team who got embarrassed by the Minnesota Vikings and got crushed, but the New York Giants destroyed the Washington Redskins on Thursday Night Football. They've had a few more days rest to prepare for this football game. Why not take the home team here? The thing is, the Atlanta Falcons match up very well with the New York Giants, and I still don't buy what the New York Giants did to the Washington Redskins. The Redskins were just It's just bad. It was one of those games where everything fell apart for the Redskins. Kirk Cousins started becoming doing his best impersonation of Eli Manning. I think this is going to be a situation where the Atlanta Falcons know they were embarrassed last week. They won't let that happen again. They'll get after Eli, and offensively, I think the wide receivers and the tight ends for the Atlanta Falcons are just better, a little bit superior than the Giants secondary. That's where I look to. I look Matt Ryan to have a bigger game than Eli Manning, and the Falcons will beat the New York Giants. Rafe agrees with me on that one. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to New Orleans to face the Saints in a divisional matchup. Now, this is a big game for both teams. Both teams are sitting there scratching their heads saying, how in the world did we get to this point? They're both sitting at 1-3. Only one game out from the division lead, and they're thinking to themselves, yeah, if we get a win here, we're right back in it. We got a shot. Well, it's got to happen now. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sneaked out a win last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, embarrassed the Steelers, who led most of that game, and at the end kind of gave up a touchdown to Vincent Jackson. They lose the game, and Tampa Bay gets their first victory. The New Orleans Saints got embarrassed by the Dallas Cowboys, and they do not want that to happen again. So, I think New Orleans at home, the crowd behind them, knowing they get a win, I like the New Orleans Saints to bounce back, and so does Rafe. We both have the Saints winning their second game. Another game of importance, the Baltimore Ravens travel to Indianapolis to face the Colts. Now, this is the final game that we differ upon. I've got the Indianapolis Colts at home. Rafe has Baltimore. Let's see what he says. He says the Ravens need to hold Andrew Luck. Okay, yeah, they do need to hold him. But are you going to tell me how they're going to hold him? Andrew Luck is the top passing QB as far as yardage is concerned. He says, I will roll with the Ravens as I think they're the better team. Ravens by a touchdown. That was quite simple for Rafe. I disagree. I don't think they're the better team. I think they're the Colts are the better team. Not by much, but still the better team. And they're at home. The Ravens are coming off one of those games where Steve Smith kind of much gave them all in a revenge game against his old team, the Carolina Panthers, in the game where he kind of felt he was disrespected by Carolina, so he stuck it to him. There's no such grudge match or revenge here in this game. Indy's at home. Andrew Luck is playing great football, and I think he will continue to throw the ball effectively and win this game against the Baltimore Ravens. So that's the final game that we disagree on. I think we agree on every single game from here on out. And here is the final game of importance where the Cincinnati Bengals traveled to New England to face the Patriots. And the Patriots have got to be sitting there thinking like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Belichick comes out and is like, Luke. Or in this case, Tom, you are my quarterback. Go out there and lead my team, my son. there he goes, my very bad James Earl Jones. Especially because I feel like I got a cold coming on. Do you guys hear that coming out? Anyways, the New England Patriots definitely have to be thinking, is this the end of the dynasty? I know I've got a lot of those questions coming up. Questions by you listeners who have posted on Twitter and Facebook. But the Cincinnati Bengals are coming off a bye, and they are hot. I think right now the Cincinnati Bengals are the best team in football. They look great offensively. They look great defensively. And special teams is doing pretty good. So I like Cincinnati in this football game. Rafe does as well. I think New England needs to find an identity. They don't know what their identity is. They can't run the football very well, mostly because they have a running back by committee. You can't really get into any kind of a rhythm. Whether you have Ridley or Vereen or whoever else they try to throw back there. Then Tom Brady is not really on the same page with anybody of his receivers. Mostly he's on the same page with Julian Edelman, except they weren't last week against Kansas City. They looked bad. But that's about it. Brandon LaFell, maybe he's starting to get a connection there. But he really doesn't trust anybody else. And Rob Gronkowski is a shade of what he used to be. He's I don't know, I would say he's maybe 70-75%. Him running down the field last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, he looked like a waddling, dead, dying duck trying to run a route down the field. Doesn't look very good. So I'm not sure who the New England Patriots are offensively. Defensively, they just give up too many big plays. It's one thing you can't do in the NFL. You can't give up the big play. And the New England Patriots are giving up big play after big play. The Kansas City Chiefs just got chunks after chunks after chunks. 15-yard gains, 10-yard gains, 12-yard gains, 18-yard gains, 29-yard pass plays. They're huge. And it was like almost every series. I think Andy Dalton has a huge game. I don't think there's anybody in the secondary for New England who can cover A.J. Green. And I think Giovanni Bernard's going to give them fits coming out of the backfield. Much like Jamaal Charles did last week, scoring 3 touchdowns. Giovanni Bernard's going to have a huge day in New England. I like Cincinnati, and so does Rafe. And that does it for the games of importance. There's only 2 games of interest, and those are coming up. Games of interest. All right. The games of interest are games where the teams aren't so hot. There's usually a team that's actually a little bit better than the other team. And there's one team that's just not so good. But the game's interesting because both teams still really have a shot at competing within their division. So we'll start with Buffalo as the Buffalo Bills travel to Detroit to face the Lions. We both have Detroit in this football game. I like the Lions, and so does Rafe. Lions have been really good at home. They've looked like two teams right now. Detroit at home, fantastic. Detroit on the road, so-so. Even though Detroit got the win last week against the Jets on the road, they still didn't look all that great. But you bring them back to Ford Field, and it looks like a completely different football team. The Buffalo Bills, in a reason unknown to me, have decided to bench E.J. Manuel and go with Kyle Orton. Now, first of all, I know they're 2-2, the Buffalo Bills, and I'm looking at the games that E.J. Manuel really didn't have much to do with their two wins, and he hasn't looked all that great. But in doing this, you're admitting he's not the guy. We made a mistake. We jumped up in the draft to go get this guy, and he's not the guy. So that's kind of what you're saying to your team. And I'll tell you right now, Kyle Orton's not the guy either. Good luck with that move. Having him seen a little bit of Kyle Orton when he played for the Dallas Cowboys, he's just not the guy. He's not going to be the guy, and I think the Buffalo Bills are making a mistake if they think that Kyle Orton's going to give them a better chance to win football. Certainly not going to win this game against the Detroit Lions. I think Detroit will have a big game and take care of business with no problem. Rafe agrees as well. And he also agrees in the next game as the New York Giants travel to San Diego to face the Chargers. I've got the San Diego Chargers, so does Rafe. And here's plain and simple. It's time, New York, to sit Geno Smith down. If you want to tell us, if you want to tell somebody that they made a mistake and, yeah, it's time to sit him down, it's the New York Jets. They have made a mistake with Geno Smith. He is not the guy. He just doesn't look good. He doesn't read defense as well. He doesn't play like he has a lot of confidence. And you know what? Eventually, the players around you start to see that. They start to know it just as much. Put Michael Vick out on the football field. Why don't you do it? I cannot. There's nobody who can tell me that Michael Vick is getting outperformed in practices by Geno Smith. I don't buy it. Now, I'm not there. I'm not watching the practices. But I don't believe for a second that Geno Smith plays better football, plays the position of quarterback better than Michael Vick. I don't buy it. Now, either Michael Vick has deteriorated and lost a step, and he's just not as good. I'm not sure what it is, but you cannot tell me that Geno Smith is better than Michael Vick, and that Michael Vick does not give you a better chance to win football games. Doesn't matter this week. Doesn't matter if you go to Vick or not. I'm sure Geno Smith probably has a short lease. If he has a horrible first two quarters, they probably pull him. But it's San Diego. They're playing great football. Phillip Rivers is playing out of his mind right now. Another 3 touchdown passes last week. He's going to torch the Jets secondary. I like San Diego, and so does Rafe. 3 games left, and they are the nap game. These are nap games because they just have teams in them that nobody should have to be forced to watch just because they're that bad. Anyways, we'll start in Philadelphia where the St. Louis Rams travel to Philly to play the Eagles. Rafe and I have the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sorry, St. Louis. I'm very happy for you that you have made Austin Davis your starting quarterback. The bottom line is you're still not a very good football team. Philadelphia is embarrassed at the way they lost the game last week. I think their offense bounces back and has a little bit better performance against the Rams. Philadelphia should take care of this game. Both Rafe and I agree. The Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Jacksonville to face the Jaguars. And another team, another story, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm very happy that you've decided to go with Blake Bortles. I like him. I think in the future this kid's going to be really good. The problem is you haven't surrounded him with anything. There's not a lot of talent there. And there's not a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. Pittsburgh's going to come out furious that they let one slip away against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They will go down to Jacksonville. They'll impose their will. They'll be a little bit quicker. They'll be a little bit faster. They're going to respond a lot better to Mike Tomlin. And I think that Pittsburgh wins this game going away. I like the Steelers, and so does Rafe. Finally, Rafe and I agree that the Seattle Seahawks traveling to Washington will be all Seattle. The Washington Redskins they're like on the cusp of doing something pretty good, but they just don't don't look really good. On Thursday night against the New York Giants, that was just a horrible performance. And it's kind of one that just kind of got away from them. It wasn't very good. Here come the defending Super Bowl champions. They will get after Kirk Cousins. They will smack him around a little bit. And then it might be the same, pressure Kirk Cousins, and he won't be able to do much offensively. So we both like Seattle to take care of business there. So that's it. Those are the 15 games this week. We differ on 6 games. Rafe has decided to make the Arizona-Denver game the challenge game. He's got the Cardinals. Well, I've got Denver. The challenge game series is tied up 2-2 with the fans, as the Packers and Aaron Rodgers were just too much for a bad Jay Cutler-led Chicago Bears team last week. Good luck to you and the fans, Rafe. I appreciate it. Before I leave today, I want to answer some questions, because there were a lot of them, mind you, on Facebook and Twitter. I said, I told you guys that I would be recording the Week 5 preview show. We'll start on Twitter, where Michael Collins asks, who should Oakland take with the first overall draft pick? Well, that's a very good question. You're insinuating that they will be the worst team in the league. I'm not sure about that just yet. There's going to be some decent quarterbacks that come out next year, and I certainly think that that's where the Oakland Raiders need to look. They need to get a starting quarterback who is good at what he does, and I hope that that's where the Oakland Raiders try to find a first-rounder that's worthy of it. Damon Penny asks, is this the untimely end of E.J. Manuel? Well, you got to say yes, because they benched him. So I would say yes. Ollie Hunter on Twitter also wants to know, will Eddie Lacy turn it around? Well, it's not so much Eddie Lacy. The Green Bay Packers offensive line is struggling right now. They do not look very good, and it's kind of interesting that the Bills are – I mean, that the Packers are struggling so much, and it's not because the lack of passing game. I think Aaron Rodgers is doing a great job passing the ball. So you would think that if Rodgers is successful throwing the football, that they would take the eighth man out of the box and try to play more coverage. But instead, they're just getting to Lacy in the backfield. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Eddie Lacy get hit before he reaches the line of scrimmage. That's not good for your running game. So I don't know if it's Lacy. I think it's more the offensive line. Give them a couple more weeks to see if they kind of gel. Then maybe Lacy will get it together. He also asked, is Larry Donnell legit? I think anybody who catches 3 touchdowns in a game and has already, 5 in 4 weeks? Absolutely. Dude's legit. Dude's got 5 touchdowns. I'm playing him again this week. You should too. Over on Facebook, Katie Adams says, glad to have you back. My bestie family, thank you very much, Katie. I appreciate it. Let's see. Lots of people are writing off the Patriots, but I'm not convinced. It seems too early to write off most teams, as teams are still working on new players, coaches, and plays. Do you buy into the line that the Patriots dynasty is over? Well, I think I was one of the first ones, David, to say the Patriots dynasty was over. I think it was over last year. They're certainly on the decline. I know they made the playoffs last year, but they didn't look good in the playoff game that they lost. And this year they haven't looked too good. Time's going to tell, but I think this week against Cincinnati is going to be a big test. If they get beat, as I expect, the Cincinnati Bengals to go in and beat the New England Patriots, we'll find out what kind of a team the New England Patriots are. You got Bill Belichick there, and he's a pretty smart coach, so I'm sure that he can do some good things. But with the current roster and the way it is right now, I'm not sure that the New England Patriots are going to make any noise this year. Thomas asks, do the Bucs have a legit chance if they beat the Saints to win the South with Gleenan? Only because everyone else in that division is struggling. So if they win and they're sitting there at 2-3, you can't say that they don't have a chance to win the division, but it's going to be very tough for them to go into New Orleans and get that win. Jason asks, best division, worst division? And condolences. Thank you very much for that, Jason. Best division right now, Ooh, that's a good question. I'll tell you the worst division right now. It's got to be gosh, that's a tough one. I guess the AFC East has a bunch of two teams and a 1-3 team. The South isn't looking very good in the AFC or in the NFC. So maybe the NFC South is the worst division. The best division, probably the AFC North right now. Baltimore's looking strong. Cincinnati's undefeated. Pittsburgh, even with their hiccup, looks like a pretty decent team. And Cleveland's playing some hard football there. Kansas City, Denver, and San Diego all look good in the West. Probably it would be the AFC North right now is probably the strongest division. And probably the NFC South, the worst division. Interesting question there. I had to think about it for a little bit. Benji, my nephew, have the Giants found their offensive rhythm? You boob. No, the Giants, they won two games, and they look good doing it. Can Happy Feet Eli keep doing it week in and week out without throwing all those picks? We'll see. I'm not sure yet. I want to see another couple games, Eli, first. Should the Lions start preparing for life after Sue? Bernard Wall asked. And absolutely. They don't have a new contract for him right now. And because of that, it leads me to believe that they're going to most likely part ways with him. They're going to let somebody else deal with that. So, yeah, I would think so. Mary Margaret asks, how do you think Teddy looked? And do you think the Vikings have finally found their QB of the future? I like Bridgewater. I think he looked really good. Kind of bad that he got hurt in that football game. But once again, as the great Bill Parcells said, let's not get out the anointing oils and, you know, get his bust ready for the Hall of Fame. It's just one football game. So he looked good in that one game, but let's see how he does in a few more games before we start talking about the future QB of the Minnesota Vikings. Francis asks, does Peyton Manning have enough arm strength for Denver to be a contender again? Yeah, unless you're seeing something that I'm not. I think he still can make every throw. Maybe he can't throw it as far as he used to, but he still put some pretty good touch on those deep passes. So, yeah, I think I still think the Denver Broncos will come out of the AFC to represent the AFC again. Lee says, so bored of the Patriots being written off. To the fans moaning, if you're going to support us when we lose, don't bother supporting us when we win. Okay. All right. I guess that's just a statement. That's not really a question. But thank you, Lee. Dan says, should Dwayne Bowe's nickname be T-Rex? The man is humongous but never once extended his arm for a catch. That's a good one, Dan, calling Dwayne Bowe T-Rex. Okay, Troll says, will the Raiders be better off playing the last three quarters of their season with a new head coach? No, I don't like that at all. I think they should have let Dennis Allen finish the season. I'm not saying that the Raiders were going to make the playoffs, but maybe he turns them around and gets them to start playing football. Jared Bonilla, are the Packers back on track, and are the Cowboys for real? I think the Packers are back on track. I think the Packers are going to be on track as long as Aaron Rodgers can stay upright and throw the football. They're not going to beat a lot of teams running the football, but if he throws the ball like he did against Chicago, they're almost unbeatable. And now the Cowboys for real? I think you got to say they're for real. I mean, they lead the league in offense, running the football. They're pretty good scoring points, and the defense has been a whole heck of a lot better than people thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. So you got to think they are. Sharon wants to know if the evil empire is done, what's wrong with the Saints, and is anyone still alive in any survivor pools anywhere? Well, the evil empire is going to be done, yes, after the season. The Saints' problem is the defense and their inconsistency on offense. I think the strength of the New Orleans Saints is throwing the football. Against the Dallas Cowboys, it looked like they were committed to the run so much, they forgot to throw the ball until it was much too late. I think let Drew Brees throw the football. He's got a heck of a lot of weapons. And if you can do that, because you're going to have to get in the shootouts. I'm sorry. Rob Ryan's defense is horrible. There's the worst defense in the league. And so you're going to have to throw the football and get into some shootouts. That's what's wrong with the Saints. The defense is just not good. Ralph Rafe, who says, are the 49ers and Seahawks still considered Super Bowl contenders? Yeah, I think so. I know the Seahawks are. I think the Seahawks will be there at the end fighting for a spot at the Super Bowl again. The 49ers are going to need some help. They're going to need some help, and they're going to have to start being a little bit more consistent with their offense, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that that's a lot on Colin Kaepernick, how he does. We're going to have to see how he does there. That's it. That's all the time I got. The other questions are about the Patriots. I can't keep beating the Patriots down. So that'll be enough there. Rafe, thank you very much for putting your picks up against me. They'll be up on the website. Please, if you're not following us on the website, please do. www.nflrnr.com. Also, there are our Twitter handles, our social media handles, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Lots of good stuff going up now that I'm kind of back in business. Jeff, my big buddy Jeff, was just in London for the Vikings London game. He just got back. I will be heading out there in a few weeks myself, so I'm looking forward to that. Start sending me your emails, your name and your email, and how many people will be getting up for a meetup. I'm trying to set it all up. Once again, send me your name and how many people will be coming. This will be for the Saturday before the Dallas Cowboy-Jacksonville Jaguar game. I'll be hosting a little get-together, and I want names so that I can put your names on the list to get into the club. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Steven Miranda. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. Here we come, week 5. Let's get them.